Okay, so we were in the middle of discussing an issue at the end of last shiur, right, section number 2 on the Marmakomos, about basically which party, right, the Bo Machteres, the Ganav, or the Balabayas, who raises the stakes from Mamanas to Nisa, right? Just to take a step back, the guy, Bo Machteres, is coming to steal money. And all of a sudden, this turns into a lethal confrontation, you know, each one is pulling guns. The question is, who, you know, locally pulls their gun first, who, you know, escalates the case from the realm of Mamanos to the realm of Nefashos first. It's got important, you know, implications. So the first approach, the Pashtun, the Gemara, adopted by Rashi, the Rambam, is that who, why, which of the two parties raises the stakes to Nefashos first? The Ganav, exactly. Right. Once, according to this first pshat, once the Balabayas just stands up, basically defends his money, right, without pulling his gun, then the Ganav pulls his gun and basically pointed out there are two assumptions within this approach. Number one is that the Balabayas is going to stand his ground. He's not going to give up his money. And the question we were analyzing is, why isn't the Torah just mechayev him to give up his money, as we dealt with last time? And the second assumption is that even though the Balabayas is just defending his money, even though the Balabayas doesn't pull out his gun, somehow, for some reason, the Ganav's response to the Balabayas standing his ground is that somehow the Ganav is going to pull his gun. Right? That's the assumption. Once the Balabayas stands his ground, the Ganav is going to pull his gun. So this is an assumption of this approach, because you could ask the question, why would he do that? You know, why would the Ganav pull his gun after, you know, if the Balabayas hasn't? And in fact, we'll see the Rishonim who reject this approach and say, no, really, it was the Ganav who pulls his gun first. They ask this question, implicitly or explicitly. They basically say the reason why the first approach doesn't make sense, because they think it doesn't. Why would the Ganav respond to non-lethal force of the Balabayas with lethal force? That doesn't seem to make sense in the sequence of events.
I don't know, such a big problem. He's not. I don't know if it's like non. It's like not violent. That he won't, like, the Balabayas won't kill him. It's just like he's probably still like he's probably still being aggressive, not letting him get his money and saving him. So
he's just saying,
easy way is killing him, and also like he probably doesn't want the story, like probably doesn't want the story to get out. Like,
okay. But we'll see. I mean, we'll read the Chiddush around inside. He basically says that he doesn't agree with the assessment of Rashi, because he doesn't understand why the Ganav will pull his gun if the Balabayas hasn't. So that just is an important assumption in the first approach, which is going to be, you know, controversial, and that's why there could be others who argue. Just the last point before we move on to the second approach. Again, within this first approach, so we pointed out there are two assumptions. Again, assumption number one is that the Balabayas is going to stand his ground. Assumption number two is that the Ganav is going to respond by pulling his gun. So, based on these two assumptions, there are actually two ways to read the Chazakah according to this approach. And the question is, the Chazakah of Rabba, right? It's the Chazakah in Adamam and Asma al-Mamono, the Chule. Question, what is the subject of the Chazakah? Is the subject of the Chazakah assumption number one? Namely, is the subject of the chazakah that the Balabayas is going to stand his ground? Or is the subject of the chazakah assumption number two, that when the Balabayas stands his ground, the Ganav is going to pull his gun? So what would you say is the pashas of the Gemara? What do you think assumption number one, right? Because the pashas, the Gemara says, what? Chazakah ina demam in atma al mamono. And it sounds like, period, that's the chazakah. So it sounds like the chazakah, the pashas of the Gemara, is just referring to assumption number one, that the Balabayas is going to stand his ground. Don't think he's just going to give up. He's going to stand his ground. And then Ebn Ezel, again, on the Rambam, Hilchos Geneva, Paraktes, Halachates, again, we'll see, contrasting with the Rambam, who understands the Chazakah in the Chudash way, basically, the Ebn Ezel says, no, really, the Pashim Shana Gemara, exactly like Sander just said, is that really the Chazakah is referring to assumption number one, that the Balabayas is going to stand his ground. So what's the Chiddush, according to this? The Ebn Ezel spells out, the Chiddush is, basically, the question is, like, of course the Balabayas, why would the Balabayas just give up his money? So what's the answer? Why would it be a Chiddush?
Because why would it be a Rode?
No. Why is it a Chiddush for the Balabayas to stand his ground in such a scenario?
Oh, he's going to get killed.
Exactly, because his life is potentially in danger. As according to this, the normative shot in the Gemara, that the chazaka, the chiddush of the chazaka, is the Baal Bayis going to stand his ground. The Eben Ezra, the Rav Yisrael Zalman, points out that the chiddush of this chazaka is that he's going to stand his ground even though he's potentially putting his life in danger. That's the way to read the Gemara, al pi kashrus. Again, chazaka eino d'mamin asma amamono. The chiddush that even in such a circumstance where the Baal Bayis is putting his life potentially in danger, he is still going to stand his grounds. That's the simple way of reading. But the Rambam, anyone who has Rambam, can you know anything? You read the Rambam inside carefully, the Rambam formulates the chazaka in a mechudash way. In Perek Tes, Halacha Tes, if you could read for us. What? Yeah. Just loud, so. That's the question. Why is the,
Why does the Torah allow you to kill the guy even though he's coming for a mamonous reason?
Exactly, right.
Not
the,
to kill you?
Yeah, the obvious question in the case is that this case started off as mamonous. The guy wants to steal. How did it all of a sudden shift to the realm of the Pashos? Now, key. But what, how does he formulate the chazaka? Read it again. Shekhazkasa? Right? Exactly. So what, according to the Rambam, how does he formulate the chazaka? What? Test. Again, the Rambam doesn't formulate the chazaka in terms of just the Baal Bayis standing up, standing his ground, but rather that if the Baal Bayis stands his ground, that the Ganav, the Bam Machteris, will kill him. Right? Shechaskaso, Shim Amud Baal Bayis Bifanov, Umano Yahargenu. So according to the Rambam, the subject of the chazaka, or the chiddush of the chazaka, is not that the Baal Bayis is going to stand his ground. We'll see why not. The chiddush is rather that if the Baal Bayis stands his ground, the chiddush is that the ganav will respond with killing. So the question is, how do you then to the Gemara? Right, the Gemara just said, Chazaka ina demamid atma amamono. So how would you read into the Gemara? So the Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer points out in the Eben Ezel, that same piece, that the Rambam reads the Gemara, the Chazaka going in the entire thing. That Chazaka ina demamid atma amamono, v'hai neymar amar v'chule. So instead of reading the Chazaka as stopping right after Mamad Asma Mamuno, he sees the entire line as all being Nichol in the Chazaka. Why would he do that? Rav Yisrael Zalman points out that when you're saying a Chazaka, right, the Rav has come to introduce a Chiddush. Don't think X, rather Chazaka is Y. So Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer points out that the Rambam wants the Chazaka to be a Chiddush. But according to the Rambam, it's Pashit that the Baal Bayis is going to stand his ground. Why would someone give up his money? So because, according to the Rambam, with the first part of Chazaka ina d'mamid atzma al-mamono is Pashit, the Rambam is forced into saying the Chiddush of the Chazaka must be the Hemshech, must be the continuation, not that the Baal Bayis is going to stand his ground, but that even if the Baal Bayis stands his ground, the Ganav of the Baal Machteris is going to respond with force. And that's why the Rambam basically, you know, recharacterizes the Chazaka against the Pashas of the Gemara, but rather in terms of the Ganav, because according to the Rambam, that's the only Chiddush at play. Yeah.
So I also say to the Rambam,
yeah,
that from the other standpoint, maybe the owner will be asleep. In which case, if the owner is asleep, you don't have that, the whole Chazaka falls apart. Whereas with the Rambam, you don't have to make the whole Chazaka fall apart if he's asleep.
Okay.
Because the Rambam is not even going to guarantee that he will stand up. He stands up, he'll be good.
I'm not sure about that, but yeah.
First of all, why do you need to say that Chazaka needs to be a Chiddush?
Yeah, so that's the assumption of Yisrael Zalman. He basically points out that, like, he wants to say that Rava, by establishing Chazaka, in the Mamon Asma Mamono, is coming to, like, be Mechadish something. That you might think that, you know, the way the story would unfold is a certain way. Oh, Rava comes and say, by the way, it's a chazaka that this is going to happen. So he understands that as like a chiddush of Rava, and therefore the Rambam says the Ibn Ezel wants to interpret the chazaka in such a way that it's be mechadish something. That's an assumption, because otherwise, again, he's coming to answer the question: why is the Rambam again? Why is the Rambam reformulating the Gemara? The Pashut Pshat in the Gemara is a chazaka in adamam in atzma mamono. Period. The Rambam goes out of his way to say no. It's cheskaso shim amar balabayis b'fanav umano ihargenu. So why does the Rambam change it up? So it must be that he's bothered by a certain question. This question of trying to make the chazaka a chiddush and therefore interpret like this.
Are we reading the line that chazaka in adamam atzma mamono b'high meimar, that if he stands his ground, then this person will
we assume that the guy is going to stand his ground, and therefore v'high meimar amar yezul nekai bat la'apai v'lo shavikli yekai la'apai katilna lei. And therefore, again, all part of the chazaka, the assumption is that once he stands his ground, the ganav is going to then pull the gun. It's all part of, it's like one hemshich, one continuation.
But it's really like, if he stands his ground, like the ganav is not going to say, if he stands his ground, I'm going to kill him.
I don't understand what you're saying.
If he stands his ground, like I'm saying, if he stands his
ground, we know
is, when he stands his ground, the ganav will kill him.
And that's what's going on. The chazaka is going to stand his ground, and therefore the ganav says, once he stands his ground, then I'm going to go and kill. So Arkan was the first approach of Rashi and the Rambam, that the person who escalates the case from the realm of Mamonos to Nefashos is the ganav. But the Chiddush HaRan, if you don't mind, the Chiddush HaRan, again, and Rimigash, I would have had you guys see the Rimigash, but it's not in Bar Ilan and not in the Beis Medrash, so, but the Rimigash and the Chiddush HaRan both take an alternative approach. And they take, and they say that really, no, it's the Bala Bias, who raises the stakes of the case from Mamonos to Nefashos, i.e., once the Bala Bias sees the Ganav coming in, even though the Ganav only came in with the intention to steal, the Bala Bias, in response, basically pulls his gun. And once, we're going to see, once the Bala Bias pulls his gun, then the Ganav returns in kind. Let's just read it first, and then again, this is going to be a very important point. Yeah. Yeah, if you don't mind. Just everyone try to pay close look. I know a lot of guys probably, because of the Shir now is coming before the Seder, I'm assuming guys haven't seen a lot of these Makoros. We're going to try to, account for that. So just try to read.
But for sure, all Ganavim aren't coming.
Exactly right. So the Ganav's intention is not to kill. He's only for Mamonos.
Right.
And therefore?
Therefore, if the Bala Bias comes to protect his money and he takes it from the hand of the Ganav, he won't kill him.
Right. The Ganav has no intention of pulling his gun. And he comes for Mamonos. If it doesn't work out, the Bala Bias is stronger than he expected. He wasn't able to get the money. He'll leave. All right, it's Elo Yachol. Right. So if he can't take it, if he's not able to steal it, he'll just go off in his merry way.
Oh. If the
Ganav
doesn't let go of
what he's doing. Exactly. So it's the Bala Bias who pulls out his gun once the Ganav is not giving up quickly. Very important. Even though the Bala Bias is acting Shalokidin, again, the Bala Bias is the one who pulled out his gun. That is not inappropriate, to say the least. So first, she'ain adam ma'amid atzma l'mono. What is that basically saying? Meaning, even though he's not supposed to do, That's the chiddush of the chazaka. Right? Again, according to this approach, chazaka ina dama ben atzma mamono is a chiddush because that establishes, according to the Kedush Iran and the Rimigash, not just that the Baal Bayis is going to stand his ground, but he's going to stand out his stand his ground and pull out a gun. So he's basically pointing out, even though it was inappropriate, he shouldn't pull out his gun if the ganav doesn't have in mind, you know, to kill. Still, kacha, that's the chazaka, that's our, you know, understanding of the nature of man.
And now, knowing that the Baal Bayis will do this, the God now becomes on
exactly, it's very important. And in response, right, in response to the Baal Bayis pulling his gun, then the Ganav is going to pull his gun, and that's why you're able to kill the Ganav. But then, we're going to see very carefully, the question is, who's really the real? Is it so pashut that in such a scenario that the Ganav is the real Dave? Who pulls out his gun first? Baal Bayis. So why are we allowed to kill the Ganav if it's the Baal Bayis is the one who pulls out his gun first? Very important, in very subtle fashion, Chiddush Iran says, because what?
Because the Baal Bayis is going to pull...
No, Vahu, meaning the Ganav.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So the Ganav is the one who's starting,
exactly,
knowing that the Baal Bayis is going to do this.
Exactly. And therefore, Bob
and
Machter.
And therefore, knowing all this stuff that will happen,
Very bechidish. We'll get back in a second. But because the Ganav came, Aldas came. The Ganav came. He instigated this confrontation, which is going to ultimately lead to nefashos. Therefore, he has the din rodif. That's the big chiddush point of this approach. Even though the Baal Bayis pulls his gun first, the fact that the Ganav instigated the confrontation to begin with the knowledge that it would lead to this lethal confrontation, that grants the Ganav the shame real Dave. Just hold off for a second. Hold off a second. Okay. So based on this, you know, second approach, again, it's the Baal Bayis who raises the stakes from Misa, from Mammon to Misa. Just analyze it quickly. There are two assumptions here. Again, assumption number one is that, right, the Baal Bayis, again, right, intends to use force, basically to pull his gun, shelo kedin, even though the Ganav only plans to take his money, right? Assumption number one, again, that the Baal Bayis pulls his gun first. So the big kasha on this assumption is, why does the Torah give the Baal Bayis rishus to kill? If the whole confrontation is based on the fact that the Baal Bayis pulls his gun, what should the Torah step in and say?
Don't pull your gun.
And according to the first approach, that we asked the parallel question, but it was a much weaker question. Right, according to the first approach, that the basis of the confrontation is that just the Baal Bayis is going to stand his ground, not give up his money. So there we asked, why are we mechayev the Baal Bayis to give up his money? So we answer that question. We say, a Baal Bayis is not mechayev to give up his money. Fine, I can understand that. According to this approach, it's a much stronger question. We're not asking the Baal Bayis to give up his money. We should be asking the Baal Bayis, don't escalate the case from Mamonos to Nefashos. Don't pull your gun. Why do we give the Baal Bayis the right to pull his gun and therefore kill the guy, give him the rishus to do that, instead of just saying, just don't escalate the case. Defend your money, but just don't pull the gun.
Might be able to defend his money without
pulling his
gun.
But according to this, what?
How he defends his money is pulling his gun.
But the question is, I mean, according to the Chiddush Iran, what? According to the Chiddush Iran, we should just tell, instead of giving the Baal Bayis rishus to kill, just tell him not to pull the gun. And according to the Chiddush Iran, once he just defends his money, the Ganav is going to leave. And according to the Chiddush Iran's worldview here,
it must be a chiyuv misa on the.
No, but only it's circular. But basically, that's only one.
That's right. No, you're right. Great. Yeah. Right. I take it back.
Right? So the question is...
Who says the Gaon will leave after he just spends his money?
I can't hear you, huh?
Who says the Gaon will leave after he just...
That's what the Shiran said. The Shiran said that the Gaon is not interested in killing. He says explicitly, right, Chanina? I'll read it to you. He says, "Vade she'in kol aganavim ba'an al iskei nefashos, v'ikai balabayis la'ape, v'shakal mamone miyad aganav." If the balabayis stands his ground and doesn't allow the ganav to take it, lo kotole, di lo yachol ganav le'mignav le'zal le'nafshe. That the ganav, upon di lo yachol ganav le'mignav, if the Ganav sees that he's not able to take the money, he'll leave.
Wait, I take it back. Why is there... Why is it circular?
So, right, the question is, why don't we just instruct... Again, the whole Pasuk is telling it, the Jew, right? If you're in this situation, the way you can respond is by, you know, Ein lo damim, you can leave reshus to kill. So the question is, why doesn't the Torah alternatively say, if you're in such a situation, just don't kill. I'm a Ganav will leave. That's the basic question of this approach. So you have two answers. And we'll take any questions. Two answers. First answer is parallel to what we had before. Like, lo dibra Torah ela k'nei yetzah. The whole point of the Chazaka is that this is the nature of man. That when you see someone intruding in your home, your response is going to defend your home with all, you know, with all forces necessary. And therefore, according to this understanding, we had a parallel, you know, approach to the Magen Avraham within the first approach, is to say, in a chalam is not the ideal, but the Torah basically understands that, you know, the nature of man, the chazaka in adamam in asma mamono, which according to this approach is chazaka the in adamam in asma mamono, that he's going to defend his house with lethal force. Someone comes into my home, I'm going to pull out my rifle, like in the South. Right? Meisim b'chol yom, unfortunately. That's what happens. That's just the nature of man. If you know, if someone comes into your home, you're going to go all out. And according to this understanding, in a chanami, it's better for the guy not to, you know, escalate the case. But at the end of the day, lo dibra Torah ela k'nei yetzer hara, we understand that, you know, this is a normal response, and we're not going to be mechayev a guy to, you know, break his, you know, his tendencies. Answer number one. Answer number two is a very creative idea. This is from the Rav David Pervarsky, you know, for Rav Beryl Pervarsky, is another of the Rabbanim in Panovich, is the Chapi answer. And this is as follows. And if you remember, the case at hand, the chazaka at hand, is that because Ganavim know that a stam balabayas will respond with force, so stam ganav enters the house with das to pull his gun in response to the expected, you know, pulling of the gun of the balabayas. So therefore, even if we were to be mechayev a particular, even if we said, oh, and in a particular yachid, it's better for you to, you know, de-escalate the situation, or not escalate the situation, since the understanding is that most balabatim will escalate the situation, so therefore the ganav comes in with the understanding that he's going to have to pull his gun in response to the expected pulling of the gun of the balabayas.
That's only if it's in response. So if we tell him to keep it away, he's not going to...
The assumption is, the way he's saying it, is that because the ganav... You're right.
It doesn't this really assume, answer, really answer the question of why is it the Torah just...
No, because the point is it's not going to work. Even if we tell... I mean, the answer is that...
It's really
In short... Now the first one is that we're not mechayev anybody. Anyway, we understand that it's difficult, and therefore, we're not going to be mechayev you. Second answer is saying, really, you should. In a particular, you know, we would be mechayev if we... We would be mechayev. It's not a little different to like any Torah. We know that most people won't listen. Again, it's not... The reason it's not lo dibra Torah, we would be mechayev. Like, there's not an example of lo dibra Torah el k'nei yetzer hara. Right? We would be mechayev, even though it's difficult, we would be mechayev people not to escalate. But we know that most people wouldn't listen, and therefore the chazaka is that when the ganav is going to come in with the understanding that most likely he's going to be resist, the Baal HaBayis is going to resist with lethal force, and therefore the ganav is going to come in, and any, you know, sign of defense, because he's not looking for the gun, because he expects there to be a gun, therefore any time that the ganav even, you know, so any time the Baal HaBayis even, you know, defends himself without pulling the gun, the ganav is still going to pull his gun. And therefore we're not mechayev a particular Baal HaBayis.
But the Ron said that if he stands his ground, he'll run away.
What?
The Ron said if he stands his ground, he'll run away.
Yeah, but according to this pshat, because most people, meaning, if in a situation where, I think he's saying that, in a situation where the God, where, that's like pre-chazaka. Pre-chazaka, meaning where we didn't know that the God, that the Baal HaBayis was going to pull his gun, we're saying just the mindset of the ganav is to come to get his money. If he doesn't get his money, he's going to leave. But once we introduce the fact that in most cases the Baal HaBayis pulls his gun, so that changes the whole character of the case. And therefore, once that's the expectation, so then any ganav who comes in basically with his guns blazing. Yeah.
So this seems like a shot for an empty set of cases. For an empty set of cases.
What does that mean?
So in the cases where the ganav comes in, you know, gun prepared, it seems as though the ganav has a classic din rodef. In the cases where it's not so, I gotta say, I agree that it's like a lemma freya justification.
One more time.
For the cases where say you have a peaceful Baal HaBayis, so the guy will come in, the ganav will come in and what? Like, okay, fine, his expectations will be conditioned by the, you know, majority of cases where you're gonna, where the Baal HaBayis is going to defend himself. On the other hand, like, because you have a peaceful Baal HaBayis, that won't happen.
Yeah, but again, this peaceful Baal HaBayis is not so peaceful that he's not gonna defend his money. He's just peaceful that he's not gonna pull his gun. You're right, if the Baal HaBayis flees.
Right.
That's not even a question.
Right.
Then here is a situation where we're, you know,
escalate, but he doesn't de-escalate.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So the question is, when you go, according to this Republic Kravarsky, is that, but once you go, once the ganav comes with the mindset, expecting, you know, like, I don't want to get to, you know, the whole, like, you know, issue with, like, you know, cops. Meaning, when there's a certain expectation that you expect to see a gun, your initial reaction is to pull your own gun. So, I mean, you interpret, again, like this self-defense factor, you interpret any, like, movements.
Ah, okay, so
that's what it is.
So is his shot that any, that even if the Baal HaBayis doesn't escalate to nefashos, that
Baal HaBayis is going to escalate because he assumes that just his defense of money, like, no, his movement to get the money, he's gonna assume is a movement, let's say, to grab his gun.
Even if it's... But
so therefore it doesn't help. So therefore, there's no point to be mechayev a particular Baal HaBayis not to pull his gun,
okay,
because that's not going to help. Since the Baal HaBayis, since the ganav expects him to pull his gun, so therefore the Baal HaBayis, so the ganav, with that expectation, is going to interpret any defense on the part of the Baal HaBayis as an escalation, and therefore it's going
to
result.
So Pavarsky is going to say that either that from the mind of the ganav, one of two things is going to happen. Either the Baal HaBayis is going to flee outright, or the Baal HaBayis is going to escalate to nefashos.
Exactly.
And given that we're not mechayvim to flee, and
exactly,
okay, fine,
exactly,
okay, fine,
exactly,
all right, so that's
exactly.
that makes more sense.
Okay. So basically, right, assumption number one is that of the second approach is that the ganav is, that the Baal HaBayis is going to escalate, even though the ganav didn't come, even the ganav didn't escalate. And the question we were just discussing is that, so why aren't we just mechayev the Baal HaBayis not to escalate? Just had those two answers, either Lo Dibur Torah El Kenegi Yitzhara, or this Kravarsky idea, that because the ganav has this expectation the Baal HaBayis is going to escalate, so therefore, even when the Baal HaBayis is only defending his money, it's going to be interpreted as, you know, going for his gun, and therefore that's going to cause the ganav to pull his gun anyway, so it's not going to help. Again, I'll take one second. The second assumption of this approach is the more, you know, first one is more like a technical, trying to play out the chazakas here. The second one is more, you know, in din, is that the big assumption here is that even though the Baal HaBayis is the one who pulls the gun first, even so, we grant the shame rodef, and therefore the het, you know, the din misa, to the ganav. Again, even though the Baal Bayis is the one who pulls the gun, who escalates, we still give the Baal Bayis a heter to kill the Baal Machteres, based on the idea that, I guess, the gedder of a rodif is not simply the intention to kill, but is rather the person who instigated the confrontation, which will lead to killing.
In the Ron, what is the switch that it didn't roll date between Balbais and and Gan? What's the switch? How does it switch for the didn't roll date? How does it switch from the Balbais to the Gan? If Balbais is the one pulling out the gun, so because the Gan is going to pull out, it's going to have to run into the roll date.
We're basically saying that because the Sender's father. So the big Chiddush and the Mishavan implicitly deals with this. The Rimagash, which you didn't get to see, explicitly deals with this. The Rimagash asks the question outright. And once the Baal Bayis is the one who's escalating the case from Momonos to Nefashos, so why don't we grant him the Shem Rodef? And the Rimagash explicitly and the Chiddush Aran implicitly basically say, very big Chiddush, that because the Ganav instigated the whole confrontation with Me'ikara with the knowledge that the case is going to escalate, so that grants him the shame of it.
Yeah, but we said that
even though the Balabai
you can't kill for someone robbing, right? So really the only reason why it's escalating is because of Balabai. Even though the Gan is going in there with the Das, that he's going to pull out his gun.
But in essence, the Balabai the Ganav is making a decision when he starts furrowing in. That he realizes, I'm going to go, and I'm going to kill if necessary. Even though, he doesn't make the first move in the actual pulling of the gun, but he makes the first move to start a process. Right, we've been talking about Nidon al-Shem Sofa, right?
The process isn't allowed, because you're not allowed to kill for a name.
Understood. Of course you're not supposed to be doing this.
So the process is only starting because of Al-Bias. You're not allowed to kill for a name.
Depends how you define the process. Meaning, there's each person is responding. So the first stage of the process is the Ganav furrowing in. Stage one. Stage two, Baal Bayis pulls the gun. Stage three, the Ganav responds in kind. The Chiddush is that because the Ganav makes that first, decides on that first stage, knowing that it's going to escalate, and it comes al das kein, so that has the din of a rogel. Again, we're talking about Nidon al-Shem Sofa, Ben Sarah Mora. Now, all this idea is that we basically hold people accountable when you take, if you basically take an action which has later repercussions. And the Chiddush here is that even though, he doesn't pull the gun first, the fact that he takes this first step of entering into that home, knowing that that's going to cause him to then pull the gun, so that has been it's a big Chiddush. That's probably why Rashi and the Rambam don't take this approach. That's what they understand.
You could end up saying that the Ganav doesn't even have a gun. Both the owner assumes that he does and he kills him.
Because
he
expects the Ganav to pull out his own gun.
Yeah.
But again, it doesn't matter. The Rodev came in with the knowledge.
He's not a Rodev. He has no way of killing Baal Bayis.
But once he knows that the Baal Bayis is going to. Again, if he knows the Baal Bayis is going to escalate, right?
But he didn't bring a gun. He thought that he didn't.
Again, even if
he,
again,
because he's not able to shoot Baal Bayis.
I'm mentioning gun because, to make this relevant to the 21st century. But talking back in the day, there are other means to kill him.
Yeah.
Right?
Give him his crossbow.
What is that? You go in, you find the pole in the backyard,
when the owner pulls out his knife, he turns around to walk away.
That's not the assumption.
I was just going to say, I actually think this is not some weird counterfactual. I actually think
I'm not sure why you mocked him
for
that.
Right. I'm not sure this is some weird counterfactual. I think what Amram is saying is, even in the case where this is licensed for the Baal Bayis to kill, even in the particular case where, say, you have an otherwise peaceful ganav.
Because the answer of the chazaka of Rava is basically saying that when the since the Baal Machteris knows the Baal Bayis is going to raise the stakes to Misa, so the whole point of the Chazaka is that the Ganav comes in al das to kill. The Ganav wouldn't, if the Ganav knows he's going to be shot, he wouldn't come in unless he had a plan to defend himself. No, that's not the Chazaka. I mean, the whole point of Chazaka of Rava is that the Ganav comes in al das to kill. That means he has some means to kill, whether it be a gun or whether it be some other means. He has a plan. He's not just going to go into a booby trap, which basically, you know, where he's going to be killed automatically. That doesn't make sense. Okay, fine. So Adkan, in a certain sense, is section number two about, you know, who raises the stakes to Misa. We're going to see, and we're now going to move on to section three of the Marma Komos, about certain exceptions to the din of Baal Machteris in Baal Hargicha Hashkem Lahargo. We're going to see the first exception about Av Ala Ben versus Ben Ala Av is going to be directly related to this question about who raises the stakes. And we'll see in just a moment. It's going to raise some very serious questions. So let's try it. We only have 15 minutes. Let's try to read this quickly. So let's, if you can open up your Gemara to Ayin Beis and Aleph, and the Gemara talks about the exception to the din of Baal Machteris of Av Ala Ben. Yosef, if you don't mind. Starting Tan Rabbanan, five lines up.
And Tan Rabbanan, Ein Loi Damin, Zarcha HaShemesh Olo, Chi HaShemesh Olo Bilvad Zarcha, Elo, Yibar Lecha Adover Kishemesh, She'ein Loi Shalom Impa, Hargu, Neim Lav Al Targu.
Right, so basically the first version of the Braisa is that you kill him only when you are certain that he's coming to kill. That's the implication. Again, the only time you kill is when you know for sure that he's coming to kill. So the next Braisa is going to have a, you know, alternative implication.
Yeah?
So here the implication is that what?
That only if you know for sure that he's not going to kill you, you're not killing him.
Exactly. But otherwise, the assumption is that you do kill him.
Yeah.
So the Gemara is going to ask, Kashya stama stama. What do you mean? What's the status quo? I mean, what's the status quo assumption? Is he coming to kill or is he not? Oh, Kashya.
Kashya, kan de Av Ala Ben, kan de Ben Ala Av.
Oh, so it has a play, huh?
That's the Av Ala Ben, the stama, the father's going to have Rachmanin of his son, and so he's not going to kill him, so the son can't defend himself in the fascist. But the son probably will not have Rachmanin from the father, so the father can kill him.
Appropriate for visiting day, right? The parents are schlepping up. The question is whether the children will schlep back. So actually, Shmuel is a riot against, but Shmuel is going back to his home. So, but either way, so here the assumption of the Gemara.
Go through the front door.
Is that the assumption is that an Av Ala Ben will not come to kill. Now, very important. Let's analyze this in light of the two approaches we're just developing. So according to the normative approach, that the Ganav is the one who raises the stakes. Right? So then this makes a lot of sense. So Av, Alaben, right? So the Av, the Ganav, if I follow through with this, think about this. So the Av, Alaben, you basically say, because the father, the Ganav, has Rachmanas on a son, he's not going to come to kill. So according to the first approach, that the person who raises the stakes, who pulls out the gun first, is the Ganav, so I understand. When the father is the Ganav, he doesn't intend to kill, so he's not going to escalate the case. So therefore, there's no din above Machteris. And the opposite, by Ben Alav, since we assume that a Ben will escalate, according to the first approach, that it's all about the Koveya of escalation is all the Ganav. So then, the Ben who's a Ganav, we assume, will escalate. Din Baal Machteris applies. The Av, who's the Ganav, Av Ala Ben, when it's the Av who's the Ganav, the assumption is that he's not going to escalate, so therefore the Din Baal Machteris doesn't apply by Av Ala Ben. But everything gets messed up in the second approach, because everything's the opposite. Right? If the person who escalates is the Baal Abayis, so then everything should be flipped. When Av Ala Ben, or we say that, oh, there's not going to be an escalation because the Av, the father, who's the Ganav, is not going to escalate. According to the second approach, who escalates the case? Not the Ganav, the Baal Bayis. So let's work through the cases. By Av Ala Ben, where the Ben is the Baal Bayis, so according to the second approach, if anything, by Avala Ben, since the Ben, we're choshed a Ben of escalating, so by Avala Ben, there should be a din about Machteris, because the Ben, who's the Baal HaBayis, is going to escalate in response to his father. And the opposite for Ben Alaav. Ben Alaav, which we say, oh, there's a din about Machteris because the Ben, what do you mean? If you're the Chedush Arban and the Rimigash, that it's the Kovei is all the Baal HaBayis, so Ben Alaav, right, where the Av is the Baal HaBayis, so we should assume there should be no din about Machteris, because the Av, in that case, is the Baal HaBayis, who's the Koveya for the escalation. So you see where this is going, that according to the second approach, the whole Gemara, to reanalyze, right, because the assumption of the Gemara, the chilik between Av ala Ben, and Ben ala Av, is all assuming that the Ganav is the Koveya for the escalation, and therefore when it's Av ala Ben, it's not going to be an escalation because the Av, the Ganav, is not going to escalate. But for Ben ala Av, where the Ben is the Ganav, he's going to escalate. But again, according to the second approach of the Chedush HaRan, the Ribigash, where the Koveya is all the Baal HaBayis, so if anything, the Psak in all these cases should be the opposite. Okay, so we have 8 minutes. I'm just going to present some answers and then we'll hear from you guys. Okay, so we have to go through each case. First, Av ala Ben. Right, so Av ala Ben, when the Av is the Ganav and the Ben is the Baal HaBayis, so there we say there's no din about Machteris. Right? Because the Av is not going to escalate. The question is, again, just the Chazer, but what do you mean? The Ben, according to this approach, is going to escalate and he's the Baal HaBayis. So how do you account for the Psak that there's no din about Machteris by Av ala Ben? Any suggestions? Yet again, if the Baal HaBayis is the Ben, and he's going to escalate, so then why is there no din?
Where in the Gemara does it say, some say it's just in the Gemara, that which case is which? Rashi is a bit closer.
Yeah, but all Rishonim say that. And it's clear from the Gemara in Pesach and Bez and Bez also. Well, no one flips it.
It's not like the actual people here. It's a din. It's like there's an assumption in general.
But they're saying, but the assumption should be the opposite.
No, meaning, but there's not an assumption in this case that when the Ganav's coming in, we just have a general assumption of this, that when the...
But Avala Ben, we're saying the general assumption
that the opposite. If the Ben pulls his gun, the father won't kill him.
Very good. Okay, good. So the first case of Avala Ben, this Chizhiran must assume that it's not just that an Av, you know, who's coming to steal is not going to escalate, but that an Av won't respond to the violence of his son with force. So again, Av ala Ben, so according to Chedush HaRan, even though the Ben pulls his gun first, and escalates the case, the assumption must be that even though the Ben escalates first, the Av will not respond with force. That's the way the Chedush HaRan is going to have to interpret this Gemara, exactly like Eli just said. So again, it's not according to this approach, it's not about who escalates, but it's about that the Av won't respond to the force of the Ben. Good. It gets a little more difficult in the opposite case. The Ben ala Av. So here, we say when the Ben is the Ganav, and the Av is the Baal HaBayis, so there, the Din about Machteris does apply. So the question is it inconsistent? We're saying that that assumes, according to Chedush HaRan, that the Av, who we just said has Rachmanos, is going to escalate the case first. So why is it that despite his Rachmanus, we're assuming that in such a case where it's Ben ala Av, that he's going to escalate, yeah?
If somebody's robbing someone, they're not, if you wouldn't put yourself in a way, would you recognize so easily that...
Are you saying that Av is just not going to recognize him?
Okay.
Well, that's one way of saying it. So you're just saying that you're saying the father just won't know. Okay, he just won't recognize it. Okay, that's one way of saying it. I think another way of saying it is that there's a chilek between a premeditated act and a spur of the moment act, which is a little slightly related but a little different. Meaning, when an Av is coming to steal from his son, so he might plan this out for a couple weeks, you know, for whatever reason, his son did something wrong. All right, so the Av is planning on it, you know, stealing from his son. So in this premeditated, you know, decision, he's playing out all the scenarios. And he's saying to himself, the Gemara establishes, his Rachmanis is going to dictate that even if the son stands his ground, the Av decides, no matter what, no matter what happens, I'm going to keep my cool, I'll never pull my gun on my son. But in a case where it's Ben ala Av, right, and basically it's not premeditated, if anything, you know, wakes up in the middle of the night and he's being attacked, so perhaps that same Rachmanis is not going to be able to protect, is going to, you know, prevent the Av from pulling a gun against the son. And the chilek, this whole idea of a rachmanus, only plays a role when it comes to a premeditated action, where the Av basically says, you know, I'm planning this, I know what's going to play out, I will never do this to the son. But, you know, in the spur of the moment, when he's being attacked by his son, perhaps that, you know, spur of the moment, you know, decision, you know, will lead to him pulling the gun. One answer. Two. So number one is that technically you won't recognize it. Number two is that spur of the moment, the Rachmanis will not come into play. And number three, this is the suggestion by the Birchas Avram, very interesting idea. And he says that the Rachmanis of a father on a son will only play a role when the son is like an upstanding individual. So in the case where it's Av al Ben, right? Obviously, my parents visit Moshe Shakol, right? So when it's Av al Ben, so the son is the Baal Bayis. He's a completely upstanding individual. If anything, it's the father which is the problem. So in such a scenario where the father is an upstanding individual, that's where the father will have this ultimate rachmanas where he will never, you know, resort to pulling the gun. But says the Birchas Avraham, in the case of Ben Ala Av, there, the Av will pull his gun because obviously the fact that his son is coming to steal is obviously not the upstanding individual that he always, you know, that son that he always dreamed of having. And therefore, in such a scenario, you know, the chazakah of the Rachmanis of a father will not come to play. One more Hara. What does this remind of? What does this remind us of?
That's
where else, right. Exactly, Ben Sarah, where else have we found where parents, after seeing, you know, the actions, the degenerate actions of their son, will take the necessary action. Who takes the Spensora Mora to court? The parents. We learned who could be mochel on the misa of the parents. So again, a raya or like a smach to the Birchas Avram that, you know, the rachmanas of parents on their children can be affected given the actions and the, you know, the character and the standing of the children, you see from Ben Saramar.
What if your parents start to dislike you and become a better person?
That's for the couch. Yeah.
For the couch.
Yeah. We have one more minute, so yeah.
How does the father come to work with the Gavin? Because he says that the Gavin is going to have his finger in the head. He's going to be ready to pull out. He's going to shoot. The father, knowing that he's going to do this on time to pull up, would like to not be ready to pull his gun out of the box.
That was the point. That was the answer. The answer is that when it was Av ala Ben, even though the Ben is the one who escalates, but the Av basically goes in, not just al daske, not to escalate to begin with, but not even to respond to escalation. That's Hagufa was the answer. Okay, well, the clock hits 10, so we'll stop here. So, Mekayim visiting day, and then I'll take questions.